On today's Compassion Radio.
Trusting God is a choice on a daily basis. We can choose to trust Him and live in the peace of God that passes all understanding, or we can say that we trust Him and still spin our wheels and live in anxiety trying to figure out how to fix a problem that we don't need to fix.
Good morning, friends. And I truly mean that. It is a good day. As long as we have breath and life, we have reason to celebrate. Yet the Word also makes it clear that even in adversity, as long as we have God on our side, we can rejoice. In fact, we should. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says in Philippians 4:4. Hear me on this, he continues. I really mean it. Rejoice. Now, why would Paul pound that point home so hard? Well, because our prayers are dead without it. Friends, wherever you're starting today, I pray you'll finish the day well, full of God's joy, knowing that your God hears your prayers and is answering you when you call. On today's program, Sandy and I are going to dig into what effective prayer really looks like. It's a continuation of a discussion we began on a powerful passage on prayer found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Make no mistake about it, God wants our prayers to be effective, powerful, anointed. But we don't just get to throw a bunch of words together and expect God to make some sense out of our jumbled thoughts. No, we're going to have to work at this a little bit and sort out what God is really up to. So, let's pull out the Word together and start where God says to begin. I appreciate Paul's order of operators here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about spiritual math. And the thing he says first is not just pray. He doesn't want us to jump straight to it because we can be mean in making prayers that we're all worked up about. We don't pray the mercy and grace of God when we're feeling worked up. We pray God's justice and retribution.
Right.
And God says in many places, I'm the one taking care of these scores. Don't worry about that. You focus on forgiveness.
Yeah.
So we have to get our hearts right. And Paul's letter to the Thessalonians all through chapter 5 is about how to get ready for prayer. He talks about not returning evil for evil. Mm-hmm. He talks about getting yourself into a rejoicing mode. And that's the last thing he says. Don't stop rejoicing. Be full of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after all those things are settled, if you're really in a mode of joy, then pray nonstop.
Yeah.
I think he's also saying, if you're not in a joyful place, where you're sensing God's presence and satisfaction and joy over you, don't pray things you're going to regret.
Right.
He's trying to get us on the right wavelength here. Approach God in a way that He enables you to approach Him so you know that your prayer is not just heard and tolerated, but are celebrated. And God Himself is saying, yes, that's exactly what your heart needs to say and what your heart needs to hear from me.
Well, and aren't you glad that God knows our hearts and He knows when we're being tattletale-y and selfish and meets all that out sometimes and gets to the real issue at hand.
If I was to sum up those three verses into actions, the to-do list, the first thing I'd be saying is get them in the right order. You know, and all the stuff that comes before 16, 17, and 18 in 1 Thessalonians 5. If you need stuff to do to get ready for approaching God and knowing your prayer is going to be heard, focus on those verses first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't jump straight to the bottom line. If the bottom line has nothing under it, you've got no foundation.
Right.
You're going to fall right through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you pray is probably going to be way off. And we don't want to be out of sync with God's Spirit. We want to be on His wavelength so we know that we're singing the song with Him, that it's not just us flailing in the darkness here. It's about us joining in with what God has already provided for an answer. And the answer always starts with His presence.
Sure.
Not with His ideas, but with Him. So I would say find the things that you can praise God for.
Yeah.
And that may take a little bit of work. And I think about those scriptures, it says, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. That's the way it comes out in English, but it also means everybody.
Right.
That could mean God too. As far as it depends upon you, settle down and don't try to rile other people up, including God. So with everybody, as far as you can do it, be peaceable.
Right.
Be peace-loving and be peacemaking. We can't do everything. We can't fix every problem, but we can incline ourselves by choice toward the things that God wants us to think about. So as far as it depends upon us, I would say we need to focus on praising God from the things that we can recall. The second thing I would say is if you can't think of much or you run out of things to praise God for from your own thoughts, ask Him to remind you.
Yeah.
There is so much that He can bring to our hearts and minds that are true, that are wonderful to think about, that are beautiful, that He can bring to our hearts and minds if we ask Him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true, that we can sometimes get wrapped up in, like I said earlier, the negative and forget about the things out there that are so praiseworthy. We need to train our hearts and our minds toward that, toward worship and toward gratefulness. If you're like me, I need to make a list of things to remind me sometimes. And it's a good idea to have an ongoing list. You know what you might do during this time of self-isolation is get out a piece of paper, notebook paper, or a spiral notebook if you have one, and just start one for your whole family. Just a grateful notebook. And have your family members come up with things that they are grateful for. And do this on a daily basis. While you're together at home, I know many people have small children at home now because schools are closing. Even your college kids are coming home. Your husbands and wives are home from work.
Or working from home.
Spend this time reflecting on what you can, as a family, be grateful for.
And telling each other these things.
And telling each other.
I remember a book that we kind of zoned in on when our kids were little. And it was a fun book. Incredibly simple, but not easy to compile. It was called 10,000 Things to Praise God For. And it was hilarious because some of the things were just ridiculous in their simplicity or in their silliness.
Yeah.
But there were things that the authors actually perceived and made an effort to practically and literally thank God for.
Yes.
And it was fun. The things that impressed me the most about the book was scattered throughout. There was fellow followers of the way in ... They would mention a country. They mentioned a city. They mentioned a state. And you would think about them. You may not have thought about the fellow followers of the way in Andorra or in South Africa that day. But now I do because it was brought up. And when we say those things, that we're thanking God for these things, or God brings those things to our hearts, and we write them down like you're saying in your own journal, suddenly it takes on a life of its own. And it reminds us later. It comes back to testify to us, remember your family in. Maybe there are people around the world you haven't prayed for a long, long time, but you need to thank God that they're still there to pray for,
right?
If nothing else.
That's good.
Name them. So that's my second piece of advice, is if you can't think of things, ask God to remind you. He will bring things to heart and to mind. And if we're willing to be brave enough to write them down, we'll see them staring back at us saying, okay, God, I got it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. Now, the idea of praying and doing it intentionally and from ourselves from the inside, we sometimes get this false humility thing going. So I don't even know what to pray for. I'll just tell God that whatever you want me to pray for, just let me know. And we never bother to actually exercise our mental muscles here.
Right.
It's like hiring a physical trainer and watching him give you every example of the kind of exercises that are appropriate for your body type. And they do those exercises and they look at you and say, okay. And you look at them and say, that was beautiful.
Good
what
job.
Next? And you let them go through all of your exercises.
Yeah.
Has that done you any good?
Hmm.
I mean, I know this is a rhetorical question
here.
It is the same thing with our spiritual muscles. If we are asking God to show us how to pray and then we're unwilling to do it, we are not doing ourselves any service. In fact, we're scorning God. Don't ask Him to answer your prayers if you're not willing to pray them. And don't pray prayers if you're not willing to learn how to pray.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to ask God to show us how to do this, how to exercise our spiritual muscles right, then we have to exercise those spiritual muscles and get stronger at this. And it's not just our strength we're strengthening here. We're actually taking on God's strength, but we see it manifested in ourselves. So it becomes both of us at that point, right?
Yeah.
This is not just a him or me situation anymore. It's us. We're on the same team. God's strength, His life living in me, even if I feel like I'm worn out and can't, it's still me doing this by choice.
Yeah.
It's still His strength at work in me. We're together in this.
Yeah.
That is a powerful thought to keep in mind when we're praying. Do not let it be all about you. Do not make it all about Him and make Him the guy who's responsible for what you should be doing too. Be together in this.
Yeah.
The third thing I would say is, and you've done this for me many times over the years, pray through the Psalms.
Yeah.
How have you done it that has been so meaningful to you? And why did you make that an ethic of prayer for our family?
Well, it goes back to when you were in the hospital after you'd had your stroke. I was really seeking the Lord about decisions that I had to make on my own because you were not able to at the time.
Yes.
And there were some very stressful moments of not really knowing what to do and feeling very abandoned or attacked in some ways by the enemy. I felt like there was just a lot of stuff happening. There was one particular day that I was just at my wit's end and I didn't know what to do. And a good friend of mine said, let's just read some scripture. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know what scripture to read. And she said, today is August the 18th. Let's read Psalm 18. And I said, I'm in, let's do it. And we turned to Psalm 18, and the whole scripture of Psalm 18 was about how God from heaven would come to my rescue. And he would rout the enemy. He was throwing lightning bolts at those who were trying to sabotage me. And it was such a powerful, beautiful picture of what I needed at that moment, because I needed to be rescued. I needed to be surrounded by this army that God was sending to protect me. I made a conscious decision at that point to pray the Psalms, knowing that God used those beautiful verses to strengthen me during that time. And so I've just made it a practice over the years. And oftentimes when I'm doing it, when the psalmist is talking about themselves personally, I will just insert my name in that.
And that was my parentheses on this point, honey. Put your eye in the text. Because David was writing this very personally, speaking these things. But the reason the psalm is so powerful is because he showed the way to do this.
Yeah.
Friends, if prayer matters to God, it should matter to us. We're taking that to heart here at Compassion Radio, especially in what seems like very uncertain times. When we get up, we're praying for you. When we lay down at night, we're thanking God for you. Every time we think of you, we're asking God to provide above and beyond for you and your family, so you'd know how much He loves you and cares for you. We're also praying for all those suffering and afraid in this world, not just for protection from physical harm, but from the disease of fear and hopelessness. We pray that this kingdom of which we are part will do its part to continue reaching people with the love of Christ and the certainty of His ability to do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. I hope you'll pray and act with us for these things as well. Especially in times like this, I want to express my deep gratitude to you for allowing us to come to you each day with a word of challenge and comfort, truth and vision. As long as you stand with us, and the Lord provides all of us the means to do so, we'll be right here each day, doing what God enables us to do in supporting you and our Christian family around the world. Again, thank you. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you, with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. Put your eye in the text. Because David was writing this very personally, speaking these things. But the reason the psalm is so powerful is because he showed the way to do this.
Yeah.
And he was a guy that was under great stress many times, often of his own making.
Yes.
And he was a very repentant man, and God was moved by that.
Yeah.
So when he confessed his inadequacies, his sins, and his iniquities, the way he'd held out on God and purposely rebelled and confessed that, God went, wow. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a guy who's after my heart. He didn't say David was a man after his heart after he did things perfectly. Right. He said he was after his heart when he failed and knew it and still remained honest. Mm-hmm. When we feel like we failed God or our families or ourselves, and we turn back around to God and say, but hear me, and we make that plea, I truly believe that in the spirit of David here, this is exactly the kind of prayer that God answers with his whole heart. So whenever we feel inadequate and we confess it and ask him anyway, that's great courage.
Yeah.
And it's great humility. So I would say, put your eye in those Psalms.
Well, and a great one, if you want a Psalm that you can go to just right now, a great one is Psalm 91. It is such a picture of God's strength and rescue for us again. And it talks about pestilence and disease. So it's very appropriate for right now. And not that we'll be completely protected from this virus that's going around. We may or may not be exposed to it and have contracted it, or those that are listening even. But God will protect us from the disease that begins to fester in our minds because of fear.
Yeah.
And that's what I look at when I see him talking about protecting us from that. But I've just walked through it and I put my name in that. And our family is going through even extra things right now with my mom being very ill. And so we're having to walk through that on top of other things that are going on in the world. So it's been a little stressful around here. And I have over and over gone to that psalm and just ask God to help me to memorize it. I've been writing it down in my journal and walking through it and putting my name in it. So that's a very powerful thing to do. And another scripture that is really powerful, I think, to look at right now, and I believe we sent this out in an email, is Psalm 56:3. And it says, but in the day I am afraid, I lay all my fears before you, and I trust in you with all my heart. So just knowing that when we lay our fears before the Lord in prayer, that's an emotion that we have. Fear is a strong emotion. Yeah. And then we trust in him. That's a choice that we make.
The scripture you just read shows that there's been some resolution to a question. You can't say, I trust you with all my heart, and say it honestly if you don't.
Right.
And if you're going to pray that prayer, mean it.
Right.
Because if you can't say it honestly, God can smell a lie coming from a mile away.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's considered a choice that we make. Trusting God is a choice on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And we can choose to trust him and live in the peace of God that passes all understanding, or we can say that we trust him and still spin our wheels and live in anxiety trying to figure out how to fix a problem that we don't need to fix.
Walking into the presence of the king and trusting that he's not going to hurl a spear at you is that kind of trust. That's what they're talking about there. Not, I trust you with this thing. I trust you to not betray me. That's what he's saying. Now, David, even when spears were being hurled at him by the king, still trusted that God would not forsake him and knew that God was the true king. It was, I think, the only reason why God decided to elevate him to be the king. It was his purpose to have David in the throne, but to learn what it meant to have a true king in your heart before he got to the throne. So he had to face the evil of men before he realized the goodness of God.
Right.
And he persevered through that and trusted that God would never forsake him. So in that, we have a great model for how we approach God. If we're going to trust him, it means we're going to walk boldly to him with great fear and trepidation, at the same time trusting that he will not finish us off.
Right.
That he is not vindictive. He doesn't hate us. He's not trying to harm us. He's not leaving us to die in the street. He is with us in everything. That is the promise.
Yeah.
The last thing I would say, honey, as a good to-do, since we've talked about praying without ceasing, really means to focus and finish and to keep doing it and make it a habit to rejoice and then re-pray. I mean, this is all about doing it over and over again, making it a habit of life that we're not afraid, we're well-disciplined, and we know what we can expect when we go before God. He will hear us, he will acknowledge us, and if we'll be still enough to listen, he will answer us. So remember and re-pray. And the thing I would encourage people to do is to remember and re-pray the whatsoevers. A special verse written in Philippians 4:8 has done so well in English. Whatsoever things are, and it says, think on these things. So let's read that verse together before we finish off today's program.
Philippians 4:8. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always.
Yeah. It's hard not to praise God when you actually see Him for who He is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be impossible. Other scriptures say someday we all will see Him face to face, and there'll be absolutely no question of His character or His power and authority and majesty. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, there'll be no bridging any arguments against it. He will be acknowledged for who He really is.
Yeah.
Because we can't avoid it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to avoid Him now.
No.
And the ways we avoid Him is by not confessing the truth or facing up to it. We often don't want to be found out for how our thoughts are not like His, and so we avoid them. So in times of stress like this, I think the best thing we do is confess that He is who He says He is, and acknowledge those things, and write them down.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever things are pure. Think of some things that are pure and holy mm-hmm. in your life and around you. Acknowledge them. Think on those things first. And then toward the end, you can turn all those things over as an offering to Him and say, I have thought and meditated on these things, God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That kind of prayer takes, I think, the steam out of our anxiety kettle
mm-hmm.
in a big way.
Yeah.
Let's pray to finish this off. And we'll trust that God will do not just a healing work, but an empowering work in the lives of our Compassion Radio family and the kingdom around the world as we face struggles together. But as we also do it in a way that the world can't.
Mm-hmm.
We face it with a confidence and a conviction that God is in this and is with us in this.
Yeah.
And we have nothing to fear because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, You are great and You are holy.
Yes.
There is no thought that You have that's not pure mm-hmm. and selfless and intended for our good. Mm-hmm. You never think evil of Your children.
Mm-hmm.
You acknowledge truth and light, and You create those very things. There is no shadow of turning with You. Mm-hmm. There's no fog. There's no storm clouds hanging over Your head.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning bolts come from Your throne because You have the energy to transform, to conquer, to overcome anything You set Your heart and mind to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, I know that right now what You want to remind Your family of is that You want to conquer those attacks on us.
Yes.
You want to defeat the enemy that would be at work in our very members, in our fellowships, in our families. You want to drive back the tide of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And You want to be present and loved and acknowledged because You know that when we love You, when we actually spend time thinking about You, it's always good medicine for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds us how much You love us. And love conquers all fear. Not the petty loves that we think are so meaningful or that we think we can feel, but the kind of love that You showed and continue to show. That's the kind of love that drives out fears.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to think on that kind of love today. Lord, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for the body around the world. I thank You for our Compassion Radio family that stands with us every day,
mm-hmm.
that prays with us, that makes it possible for us to bring these messages to the air and to provide opportunities for fellowship and project cooperation around the world. Bless them for that, Lord, and make it possible for the Compassion Radio family, Lord, to be generous in every way with their families, with their congregations, and with the kingdom around the world.
Yes.
In Your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Again, I just want to thank you for bringing me on today, giving us an opportunity to chat about these things that are so important to us and just other ways that we chase the word together and finding ways to encourage one another in our own home and the body of believers around the world. It's been a great honor to do this with you.
Thank you. It's my honor to have you sitting with me and being with me through times of stress and trial, because when I know You're with me here, I know that God's with me too, Sandy. I want to be prayerful about that.
Yeah.
And that way I keep confessing back to God my gratitude for what He's given me and how He's given us to each other. Friends, you're probably facing a situation where your church has been disrupted a bit. Ours is. In fact, we have civil orders in our city that we can't even meet.
Mm-hmm.
Many places in the country are facing that for the very first time ever.
Yeah.
The idea that the civil authorities could force a church not to meet in person. That does not mean the kingdom has suddenly vaporized. It does not mean that we are not called to come together to worship. We do live in an age of technologies and communication opportunities that we've never seen before, that have never been available to the church in the history of ever.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of that. On Sunday morning, if you can't get to church because its doors are shut, but it's going to be simulcasting or doing a Facebook Live or something, I encourage you folks, show up for church.
Yeah.
Don't forsake the coming together of the believers. And as God brings them to your heart, pray for your family around your community and around the world. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, hallelujah to
To hear our podcast and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. I'm Bram Floria. God bless you, friends.